Still Standing is a podcast of hope. My name is Allie Patterson, and I am your host. On this podcast, you're going to hear stories from people who have encountered a living God and found help and hope in their real life. No matter what your life is like right now or what you think of God, I hope you hear stories like yours, and I hope you walk away thinking there's hope for me too. Everyone on this podcast would gladly say it's because of Jesus that I am still standing. Come find out why. Okay, you guys, today we're talking about really simply how to stay standing in college. In college, if you are the parent of a college student, or you know a college student, or you're friends with one, or you are one, this episode is for you, and it's near and dear to my heart because I have a senior in high school, so I feel like college things are just on my brain all the time. So I've invited a guest who's not only incredibly qualified to speak about this topic, but also just a personal friend. So it's always great when I can have somebody in my actual real everyday life, and our boys are friends. So I've gotten to know our guest today. Her name is Jamie Baxter. Welcome, Jamie, to Still Standing. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I have loved listening to the podcast, Allie, and just knowing you, as a friend in our lives, and then knowing you also as a peer mentor and resource. Mm-hmm. And thank you for all you're doing to encourage us all to, to stay standing.
Okay, so Jamie, on this podcast, every single guest gets asked the question, what's keeping you standing these days? But now I have a rule because my first like dozen guests all said coffee.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm sitting here actually sitting with, here with a cup of coffee. So
you can't say coffee.
Okay.
But when I love to ask this question, it can be anything you want.
Yes.
You can even tell me your favorite song. It doesn't matter. But something that is putting pep in your step, putting your feet on the ground in a solid way. What is keeping you standing right now?
Love it. So one of the things that I love to do every morning, especially as I'm walking from my car into work or kind of changing locations, is to look at the sky. I love the sky. I always have since I've been a little girl. I love to see kind of what the sky looks like. It's different every day and every time of day. And it just helps kind of ground me and helps me feel sort of, I guess, small in the best sort of way. Like, okay, the sky is still standing. We're good.
Yes.
That's great. I love the sky.
I love that because there's so much. We get so wrapped up in our own world.
Yeah, yes.
It's like immediately puts you in the right posture
it
for the rest of
your day. Literally lifts my head up. I mean,
literally,
you know, so yeah.
I could quote some scripture right now, but I won't. I'm just going to keep it. We're going to keep moving. So that's a really good one. Thank you. Tell us about your world. Give us a little snapshot of who are your people and tell us what you do because it's really important to our conversation today.
Okay, absolutely. So, I am a mom of three kids. I have one daughter in college, and like you said, we have senior sons who are starting this journey together, and then my youngest is 14, so living the middle school world.
Living the dream. Living the eighth grade dream.
Yes. Yeah. All that is.
Or the nightmare?
Right.
Hopefully
depending
she's not living a nightmare,
moment.
But yeah. I think eighth grade is a nightmare for
it's
more than a
go.
People.
And then I'm married to Tom, who we've been married for 22 years and have been in ministry, full-time ministry, that whole time.
Great.
So those are my main people. And then I also work in the mental health space, so I'm a licensed counselor, and currently my role is at Xavier University overseeing our mental health clinic for college students, which I absolutely love.
Oh my
and
gosh.
So this is the topic.
Bless you. There are not that many people in the world who are both equipped and excited to meet college students in the space of mental health. I read some like super startling statistics. Mm-hmm. I actually wrote down a few and I know there's probably all kinds of sources out there that you know better than I do. But I am startled when I think about the mental health of our young adults.
Yes.
College or not college, just the mental health of our young adults is not amazing right now.
Right. Right.
And I was reading, okay, so I jotted some of these down because I wanted you to speak into what you see in your setting at Xavier with this stuff. 45% report clear symptoms of depression, 37% anxiety, which actually that seemed low to me. Yeah. I'd love to ask you more about that. That seemed a little low to me. And that a full 15% were actively or recently considering taking their own life. Jamie.
Yes.
Is this what you see?
This is absolutely what we're seeing at Xavier. And I think it's on trend nationally. Okay. So those statistics from Healthy Minds, probably, that's a national survey. And we also administer surveys like that on local campuses and compare them.
Okay.
And those are probably conservative, honestly.
I felt like they were on the conservative side because I've looked at numbers in other things that I've done. And I feel like I've seen numbers that are even higher than that, which I would hate it if they were higher.
I know. And I think a lot of those numbers were released 21 to 22. So we're still looking at the effect of the COVID endemic on all of this that really interrupted kind of that autonomy and independence sort of trajectory that our young adults are supposed to be moving into. But I want to just start us off too with the good news or the hope is that resiliency and growth is something that this generation is so capable of.
Yeah. Wow.
And
why do you think that is? Just generationally, like what do you encounter as you work with college students? Why do you think despite those stats, you're still seeing a lot of desire to grow and change and come out of that?
Yeah.
Is that going too far?
I don't think so. Okay. And maybe I have some bias because this is my passion and my work. And by the way, I love spaces where we can kind of weave in the faith conversation with college mental health because sometimes I'm in one role or the other. And so I love this. And it's like all together.
And bring it all home.
Yeah. But I think a lot of it, especially what we were seeing leading up to COVID and then COVID, and we're just tired of talking about COVID, right? But it still has had its impact.
Right.
Is almost like looking at muscle atrophy. You know, have you ever like broke your arm or maybe one of your children have?
I actually broke a rib and I had a lot of problems in a lot of muscles attached to your ribs, turns out.
I can imagine.
FYI, just in case you didn't know.
I hope I never have to find out. I'm sorry.
There's a lot of muscles that attach into your ribs. So,
yes. Yeah, so like that, or if you you know get a cast taken off, you'll notice that you look at your wrists or your arms, and one looks so small.
Yes.
It's like, what happened to my arm? But as months go by, as you strengthen that again, you look down at your arms and you probably can't tell a difference. And I think that's part of what's happening with sort of the lack of resiliency that our young people have. They haven't had to build those muscles, you know, during those months, those years of COVID. We said, don't actually step out and take risks. Because
please,
that's too risky.
Yes.
Stay home, stay closer.
Make your world small.
Make your world small. Have more time on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
More time, you know, kind of with your own thoughts.
Right. Gosh.
And less socialization. So I think, how could that not impact? It would be weird if it didn't.
Right.
And I think each generation has had not only its own unique challenges, but its own unique mental health challenges.
Uh-huh.
This generation is helping us name them. As that.
Okay.
And to me, that's a stigma breaker. We can thank them for that.
Yeah.
I think it's easy.
Because they're like a more than, much more than my generation or the one in between.
Yes.
Much more are kids saying, I'm not okay mentally.
Right.
Like they're fine to say, I am struggling with my mental health. And there really has been, from my point of view, a destigmatization of mental health, just talking about it, acknowledging it's a thing. So thank you.
Thank you, college students.
20-year-olds for doing that for the rest of us who didn't have that permission at 20.
Absolutely.
Right? We just didn't.
Yes.
So what are you seeing, like on campus at Xavier?
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing the big things if people come to the – is it called the mental health clinic? I don't want to call it the wrong thing.
Yeah, counseling center.
If they seek out the counseling center for any variety of reasons, what is the – what's the reason they might initially come?
Mm-hmm.
What's the thing that's driving them there? Is it just a, hey, I'm not okay mentally? Or are there things that you see in college that will typically – push someone to the point where they need help?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I think consistent with what those stats share, symptoms related to anxiety and depression are the most common symptom set that we're seeing. However, what could kind of lead people into this conversation could just be a desire for personal growth and understanding.
Okay.
So this time in life is, it's all about identity formation. Even listening to your past guests, I was so struck by how many people, when you said, when did your faith become real? Or when did this really happen for you? They said, well, in college. You know, and so I think that is a common that this time, although it's so turbulent, it's so, and we hear about it, that it's the best time in your life. You're going to make friends that you'll have forever. And and that's true for a lot of people, but every day is not the best day of your life.
Listen, sister, I am one of the few people that you will meet that would not go back to college.
Yes.
I would not. So as you especially work with like freshmen or even sophomores that are coming in and they're laying the groundwork for their experience in college.
Yes.
What would you counsel them? Like, what do you find yourself saying a lot or seeing a lot that could help newer college students to like set up a good foundation for a better experience? Because, man, I think I missed some stuff.
I did too. And I think, if I had a do-over, I would definitely do some things differently as well. But I think that's also part of it is that there are some things we can't grow through unless we encounter some struggle and some wrestling. It's okay that this is hard and that you don't know all the answers. It's okay that this doesn't feel like the best time in your life today. That is okay. And you are normal. There's not something fundamentally wrong. Because talk about like throwing gasoline on the fire of anxiety when someone comes in and, you know, I'm already struggling, but it's supposed to be up here and I'm down here and now I'm more anxious and more, you know. So that's
not only do I feel what I feel, but now I feel bad about what I feel.
Exactly. I feel
because
guilty
I'm supposed to feel a different way.
Yes. Absolutely.
So that I think very much me as well.
Yeah. Normalizing that this, even the struggle in this, is normal and healthy.
Let me ask you a God question since we're pushing these two things together. I've been wrestling with this, probably especially because I have a senior, so I'm thinking a lot about the choice of schools. One of the things in my own story that I now see was really wrong thinking, like it was bad thinking. I don't know where I picked it up, but I did. That when I went to college, I needed to cut off everything that was before and build something completely new. How do you think about that as a mom and as a mental health professional? Because one of the things I believe that God has given us to stabilize our mental health is healthy community.
Absolutely.
And so are we doing this wrong, Jamie? Like when our kids just up and move across the country? Is that inherently bad for mental health? Like, I don't know the answer, but there's something weird about that, like, cut all the ties and just do something completely new. And how do you think about that when you think of the way God kind of slowly, beautifully weaves together a community for you?
Yes. I love that he does that. And that's the kind of God that we serve, that everything good that he's done in our lives, whether that be in us, through us, people around us, is sort of like you're saying, it's this trajectory of it's just getting better. And and it's all of that growth, all of that connection, it is valid to us in our future. It's not just a chapter or a season and expires.
That's a great way to put it, the way you just put that. I felt like my job when I went to college was close the door on what was before. It's weird if you want to hold on to that. Why would you want to hold on to that? That was the thinking that I had. And I thought, oh boy, I think I cut some things off that could have stabilized me on the way into college.
You know, when I see that most frequently, and I saw some of this in me, was when people are coming from maybe a painful background, and I don't know if that was your story, or maybe some dysfunction, and they say, I'm done with that. I just want to be, you know, I want a fresh start, a clean slate. And while that's not bad thinking, to your point, we have to be careful that we don't just cut everything off from our past. Mm-hmm. So the truth is, every dysfunctional family, even the most dysfunctional families, still have good things about them or sure. good things we've learned from them.
Yeah.
Also, the opposite is true. Every mm-hmm. functional and healthy family has some dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And you, it's really healthy if you For sort sure. some of that out yes. in these college years, too.
You know, that's so funny you say that.
Yeah.
So would you say, do you encourage incoming students to decide, like, these are the ways I'm going to stay attached to my community, my cultural connections from wherever I'm coming yeah. from? Is that a healthy thing?
In my opinion, it is a healthy thing with some boundaries around it.
Okay.
So I think, again, if you can keep those formative, strong, healthy connections with people in your world who have mattered to you, mm-hmm. keep those going while also maintaining an openness to the new. Mm-hmm. I think that's like the perfect combination. Yep.
How many people are good at that, though?
Right.
Do we usually err on one side or the other?
Yeah, I think we can.
Yeah.
But I think that is what I would say is one of the benefits of social media and just technology. There are some relationships that grow stronger in college. Communication is more focused, and it's not just in passing of get your lunch, what time is practice, you know. Mm-hmm. It's actually this, hey, Mom, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
And there's this invitation sometimes into uh-huh. this deeper conversation.
Yeah.
And when they invite you into that wrestling and into those questions, oh, it's just like such an honor. But there's growth that can happen even
okay.
with that distance.
I want to highlight what you just said. There are things that actually get better.
I think so. Now, it's also
in college
really hard.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I mean, between parent and child, of course, there's
course.
Some other fun stuff that happens in college.
Of course.
Too.
But there are things that get better with relationships, mm-hmm. even longer distance relationships, family relationships. There are things that can get better for you, mm-hmm. even as you struggle through them.
Mm-hmm.
But in my view, and I'm sure in your experience too, there are not many good things that come in life without a bit of a struggle or
yeah.
a wrestling.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So as you talk about college students that you see,
mm-hmm.
do you encourage them to do some things early in their mm-hmm. college experience that you think are really positive for their mental health?
Yes.
Like just some basics.
I think there are some basics. And we don't have the luxury at any age in our lives to neglect the basics,
mm-hmm.
the basics of our health. So I think that is so important. And it can feel a little elementary or something to mm-hmm. break it down like that. But to talk about sleep schedule, about eating, and about time management. I mean, it's kind of this hierarchy of needs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can I be thriving mentally, emotionally if I haven't drank water, if I haven't slept, I haven't ate a meal? So I think that those basics are essential. So a lot of times that's even questions we'll ask is, how are you doing? How are you sleeping? How are you? Just to get a baseline
yeah.
of someone's functioning.
Yeah.
Well, and even the eating piece in college can be very interesting because like your friend, if she was your roommate, she's coming from homemade meals that mom
right.
made every, and then you're going to a cafeteria every Xavier's cafeteria is great, but every cafeteria is not mom's homemade cooking.
Right.
It's also if you've had some complex eating issues or disordered eating in the past, that can be a huge
yes.
change going to a cafeteria style eating.
Yeah.
And even the anxieties about, will I have anybody to go with? These are things that you didn't think about
yeah,
around
you don't
the family
have
dinner
social
table.
Social anxiety three times a day.
Exactly.
Just to eat dinner, right?
So we'll find so much out just
yeah.
through those basic
so
functions. Questions. And then the next one that is, I would say, a little bit next level, that all of us acknowledge that social media can get the best of us and
yes.
we can get too consumed by it,
mm-hmm.
but very few of us actually put some strong parameters around it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the leading cause of anxiety in college students? You know what the first answer is? Social media. Like, hands down, everybody says that's their answer to me, social media. And then the next question I ask is, how many of you have put some boundaries or parameters around social media? Do you know how many hands went up?
Almost none.
None.
I would say none.
One.
Right.
Actually, I should say one went up, and he said, I deleted social media. I can't do it.
So
for my
his boundary
health.
Was none.
None.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't even know what to do with it, so I'll just forget about it.
Yeah.
But isn't that very true? Because most people you ask who have access to social media will acknowledge the negative.
Yes.
And we think about what's happening with anxiety, even anxiety that we can't name or tie to a specific event. It really is an overactive brain that is scanning for threat. So if we are always feeding our brain data and stimuli, how could we expect it to just be calm and peaceful when we want it to?
Right.
We have to train those moments of quiet.
Purposely filling yourself with even just everyday beauty.
Absolutely.
Just the trees across the quad.
Yes.
That's all you need.
Yes.
Just the basics.
It's one of the things that can help. And I think it's even like when you take a picture of a beautiful sunset, you know how you're like, you look at your phone and you're like, that doesn't even capture it.
Yeah.
You're looking at the same thing. And that's, I think that's what's going on with our senses, with our...
But these are interesting. So we are, you and I are both parenting. You have a daughter in college. We both have ones that are about to go. So I don't welcome sounding older, but I will say we didn't even have phones in college.
Yeah.
So we are parenting a generation. You're helping me as a mom to even know, to say to my son, hey, you're going to want to be careful that you don't fill every space when you go to college because your time is your own and you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Pick out a few places during the week where you leave your phone in the dorm, where you meet people and don't bring it. When you walk to class, zip it in your backpack.
Yeah.
Like to proactively coach that.
Yes.
Even if I know it or I've experienced it, it's another thing to know to proactively coach it.
Absolutely.
So as a parent, that's helping me because it's not something I had to live.
Yeah.
We are living, the parents that are parenting this age right now did not live with this.
No, it feels like action research or a live experiment that we're just trying to figure out in the moment.
But it is indicative of how dramatically different the college experience is. And that helps me as a mom to know, hey, I should check in with my kid.
Yeah.
If I want my child to adjust well, I should check in with them. Friends, college age friends, you can check in with each other.
Yeah.
Where's your times of silence?
Yep, absolutely.
Where did you go to actually enjoy or delight in something instead of just constantly consuming?
Right.
You know, just to coach each other on this is a real thing we need. To have the right language for that is a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a really big deal.
It's a really big deal, I think, to be proactive and then to be reactive. There's a song, a country song. So I'm a country music fan.
I like country music too. Don't tell anyone.
Yeah,
it's
let's
cool.
keep
it's
that
cool
between
for
us.
Some.
It's
other
cool
people
for some.
Do a lot of eye rolls, but yes. I do like country
but it's
music.
It's a song called "Breaking Up Was Easy" in the '90s,
and I don't
it's
know
all
that one.
About you'll have to listen, Sam Hunt. But it's all about this. I didn't have to see where you were after we broke up. I didn't have to, and
that's real.
We spend so many conversations, kind of on the reactive side of engaging in social media, about what do you do when there's been a fallout in a relationship? Mm-hmm. How do you manage that? And let's actually really break that down. Do you see them on Snap? Do you see them on Instagram? Do you see them on TikTok? You know, and what are the parameters, the boundaries around your communication?
Yep.
Which again, we did not encounter that.
No,
parents,
we
were like, if you broke up, I didn't see you unless we were accidentally out at the same place.
Yes.
Or you called my landline and talked to my roommate first, you know?
Right.
So these are things that I think are worth a conversation about protecting your heart, your mind, your senses. And like, let's actually break that down as a parent with or as a friend of someone. Say like, hey, what's happening with
now that that relationship has shifted?
Yeah.
What are the new boundaries you need?
Exactly.
Let's talk about that.
Yep.
And I hope we've done this well. If not, then God bring people into my children's lives that they need at the moment. But I do think our kids need to think ahead of time, who are the people that can help me?
Absolutely.
And do you tell people to identify those folks?
Absolutely.
Because I think not having to figure out who would receive me in this moment that I'm having, if you already know who to go to, and my goodness, if you've actually told them, that would be even better.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that you have a pathway to somebody who loves you that is ready to hear that from yes. you, that you know is going to care.
Yes.
That's a big deal, right?
I think both knowing those people and knowing those resources. Mm-hmm. So accessing and asking for help is not a sign of weakness. Mm-hmm. It's a sign of strength and knowing how to be resourceful mm-hmm. and communicating that too. Here's the people. Who can you call when?
Yeah.
And then where can you go if?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, like I like knowing where the ER is, even mm-hmm. though I don't plan to use it anytime soon. But knowing it's there gives me some comfort.
I had to take a roommate or two to the ER in college. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I knew where
it
our
happens.
Local ER
it
was.
It happens. So.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So those are super helpful things just as, I mean, if we even had a mental health clinic at my college, mm. I certainly didn't know about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even knowing the existence of like, let me just tell you, if you happen to be a Xavier student, yes. you do want to talk to Jamie. I'm just going to say that. You definitely want to go talk to her. And anyone that she works with or that works for her, that's anything like her, you want to talk to. I'm assuming if you're caring for students or young adults in this realm, you actually care. I think that, I think for the vast majority of people that are in jobs like yours, mm-hmm. that's the truth for.
Yeah, that's so been my experience.
Going too. Into those spaces, hopefully, is a welcoming experience.
Oh, I hope
it's
so.
It's there for you, mm-hmm. you know. And I don't, again, we probably had something like yeah. that, but I appreciate this generation's mm-hmm. push to say we need help.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I like that.
Definitely.
I really do.
And nationally, too, there are more resources than there have ever been that are at our disposal for immediate help that are free, by yeah. the way. So even, you know, the crisis text line is 741-741. And
oh,
that is just, that's the number, 741-741. You can text anything. I actually tried it this morning to make sure it was working and started a conversation, just said, thank you. I'm a clinician, just making sure this is a good resource. And it's immediate mm-hmm. access to help. The suicide hotline, 988, that's immediate access to help. So we certainly want people to know who to access to sort of cope ahead and support them. That mm-hmm. is essential and foundational, but also who to go to when it's an emergency
yeah.
and you need to talk to somebody.
Here I am. I'm alone. It's not going to change in the next 5 minutes,
right?
And I need somebody right now.
Now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
So those are good things
really
to keep
deal.
At the forefront.
Okay. So encourage our young adults out there. So what do you see in their generation, mm-hmm. besides the willingness to ask for help and mm-hmm. to destigmatize mental health? What just encourage them. What do you mm-hmm. see going on in their generation from your vantage point? Because you're in a great place to see some things mm-hmm. that are like unique and positive for this group of people. So what would you say? What should they know? Because sometimes we need someone else to stand there and go, did you know you're amazing at this?
Yeah.
So what do you see that's yeah. like amazing and hopeful and positive?
Yes, I would say the first thing that comes to mind is you have access to everything you need within you and around you, especially with the Lord.
Yes.
You have everything you need within you or around you because God is good.
Yes.
And I think that is such an important reminder that there is always hope for you. And you can access that. I see a generation that loves advocacy and will speak their minds, mm-hmm. will push the envelope in really good ways, and who, like you said earlier, are not going to settle for anything that's less than authentic. Mm-hmm. And that's
a
breath of fresh air. I love
that.
And I think they have so much potential as a generation to become the most resilient generation because of working through this mm-hmm. this deficit to become stronger. And you know, what do I have to offer to elevate people, to advocate for them? And I would just say that's a really incredible thing to get involved in college is answering that question.
Yeah.
And really then do something with that,
yep.
whether that be a club or a local church that you connect to, mm-hmm. because it can be challenging sometimes. That's a deficit mm-hmm. sometimes for people to really give back during that time.
Oh, I'm going to just straight up say it. Like, the church is amazing at that.
Yes.
Like, there is so much good around the world. I mean, say what you will about the state of Christianity or the American church, mm-hmm. but there is so much good and advocacy done in the name of Christ
right.
around the world, that if you are looking for spaces like that, the church is an amazing place to find
yes.
that. I think of all the young adults that go on, we call them go trips
uh-huh.
here at Crossroads at the church that I work at. And you are welcome on those trips, whether you are a member of the church
yeah.
or whether you are baptized or not. You know, you don't have to be some super Christian, because what that's a recognition of is that when we engage the world,
yeah.
it changes us.
Absolutely.
And so why would we set up barriers to people yes. going to do that? So
yeah.
if you're 18 and you want to go, you can go.
You can go.
And a lot of these things are natural results,
yes.
I think. And there's even some college trips as well, where it's only college students
That's
that go,
awesome.
Which is really cool to think of that advocacy becoming focused on, for me, I would say, the name of Jesus.
Right, right.
I'm like, nothing better.
Nothing better.
I hope
better.
This whole generation comes to Christ
yes.
and does it in the name of Jesus. But also, yeah, that's cool. So yeah. we love you. We love you, 18
yes.
to 25-year-olds or ish, you know, around there, 17 to 30-year-olds, whatever. Mm-hmm. You're amazing. We love you. And listen, I'm really grateful that you are a person of faith who's also working in spaces where not everybody that walks through your door is mm. because you have some of the truths of God that you can express.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit's the best counselor,
ways.
You
yes.
know, and he moves in spaces where we allow him to. And sometimes that's not from my mouth to their ears. It's from his spirit to their heart
yeah.
and then to their mind. And then we get to break that open. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, I hope if you're a parent or a college student or a friend of a college student or anybody that you know that's related to a college student, I really do hope you share this episode because, I don't know, I find myself very tender-hearted about this transition into college and people's experience while they're there. It so forms the foundation of so much life that you're going to live
mm-hmm.
that I want to take care of it well. So thank you for being here and helping us as best we can from this medium in this point of view to help take care of that time of life, because it is setting a foundation to keep us standing for a really long time to come. So there's a huge opportunity there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening. For all things still standing, head over to theallypatterson.com. You can find my new book, How to Stay Standing, as well as other resources, including articles, Bible studies, and all kinds of resources just for you. No matter where you listen to podcasts, would you leave us a rating? Maybe even a written review? It helps others find this podcast, and we want to help as many people as possible bring hope and courage into the middle of life's storms. If you want to connect more with me, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook at The Allie Patterson. Still Standing is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.